Blog Talk Radio.
Through, but praise God, hallelujah. Won't he do it? That Corinne Hathorn, won't he do it? Won't he really, really, won't he? I want to tell you, he will do it. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to get started. We just got so much to cover, man. We're going to have a word of prayer first, and then we'll get into this lesson. Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you, first of all, for your word, Father God, because it's your word that teaches us who we are. It is in your word, Father God, that we move and live and have our being. Father God, this is in your word, Father God, that teach us how to be like you, Father God. It's in the word of God, Father God, that teach us how to be the new creation that you're calling for in these last and gruesome days. I thank you, Father God, for your word, because the more we get into that word, the more our spirit man are being nourished. And Father God, that's what we want. We want to be nourished by you. We want to know, Father God, that we know, that we know, that we're hearing from you. And to do that is line on line and precepts on precepts. So, Father God, we know that as long as we have this word, we can line things up with it. We're good. I thank you, Father God, for those that are listening, that those that are going to be part of this program. Also, Father God, I thank you for Pastor Bill and her traveling. Grace and mercy be with her, Father God, who took the time, Father God, to be with us on yesterday. I just praise you for that, Father God. Usually people on vacation, they don't take the time to but she's just so faithful and dedicated. I just pray, Father God, that you continue to bless her from the top of her head to the crown, bottom of her foot, Father God. I just thank you for it. Thank you for her family giving her a vacation like that. Her son, Michael, pray that he continue to see the God in his own mother. I thank you. And I thank you, Father God, for those that are asking us to be in agreement with them in prayer. And most of all, Father God, we thank you for those that will agree according to the word of God. Now, Father God, it's according to the power that worketh in us. And Father God, let your power work in us. Hallelujah. These and all blessings we ask in Christ's name. And for his sakes, we do pray. And everybody agree with that prayer, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, we left off yesterday, brothers and sisters, in the book of Colossians, the second chapter. I think we're going to do the 15 through the 14 through the 18th verse. That's what we'll do. We'll go from the the second chapter and the 14th verse through the 18th verse. It reads as follows. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holidays or the new moon or the Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, trusting into those things which he have not seen, vanity puffing up by his fleshly mind. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. So happy to have Pastor Bell. She's going to be able to read for us today out of one of those versions she has. Hallelujah. Pastor Bell.
Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for the song and the prayer. Amen. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Colossians 2, verses 14 through 18. Reads as follows. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holidays or new moon ceremonies or Sabbath. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. Amen.
Amen, amen. So here's what's happening, brothers and sisters. We've been talking about abolish on yesterday. Christ abolished all of this stuff in his flesh when he was on the cross. Abolished, abated it, annulled it, canceled it. He disannulled it. You know, he repelled it. In other words, he struck it down. See, he made it null and void. He voided it. He vacated all those old things that tradition they had been taught and things that they were doing. So Paul makes it real plain with these people over here in the book of Colossians. He says, if you will, and y'all please excuse me today. I had my eyes dilated. Y'all know how that can be at times. So they were eating or drinking. Probably they referenced to the Jewish diet, the law, the festival. They mentioned the Jewish holidays and Sabbath and monthly and meetings, and they were new moons and their Sabbath. And the Jews did this to separate themselves from being a pagan. See, paganism was a thing also that was their neighbors, and they had to show them that they were different. They had to show the whole world that they were different. And failing to observe these special days, it was easily noticed by those who were keeping track of them, pretty much. So what's going on here is they was trying to hold on to this so they can judge other people. For instance, the best way to try to explain this is like people go to church every Sunday or every Sabbath. That's what they do. They go. And so by them going, they're showing the world that we are not heathens. So they were observing these days. So Paul told the Colossians, or the people at Colossians, the Christians there, not to let others culture, not to let others criticize, not to let others religious ceremony. Instead, them showing an outward service, they believe that by them showing that outward service, they were better. So Paul says to them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay focused, and I want you to not be carried away with this foolishness or these different ceremonies that they think that makes the difference, which is more important, how we worship, that we worship Christ. So don't let anyone judge you or try to discourage you of your worship. So he was saying, don't let them judge you like that, you know, because you're not part of the ceremony, you're not going to in a building. So while I was letting them know, don't let them judge you like that. Because the Old Testament laws, which included holidays, festivals, pointed toward Christ. So Paul called them a shadow of the reality that was to come. And listen, brothers, there's a lot of people right now, trust me, they think more of the day than they do the person. They think more of a day. And you, all you have to do is look around your own neighborhood. They'll think, boy, if you didn't go to their church and do their religion, that it's something wrong with you if you don't celebrate Mother's Day, Father's Day, holidays. See, so Paul was encouraging the people that they was false teachers, where they was claiming that God was far away and could be approached only through various levels of angels. They taught that garbage to these people. The Bible called them false prophets. They was even teaching certain worship of angels in order to evidently get the people to thinking that what they were doing was right. And I'm going to be honest with you, brothers and sisters. Forbidding angels really was forbidden to be worshipped. Because over there in Exodus, I better show you that too. In Exodus 20:3-4, I'm going to get Pastor to read these scriptures because I marked them down. I'm just trying to find them. Yeah, Exodus 20:3-4. Exodus 20, verses 3 and verses 4.
Okay, Pastor. From the New Living Translation, it reads, you must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourselves an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. Amen.
That's still real today, brothers and sisters. Stop making buildings. This is the house of God. There ain't no house of God. That ain't God.
Mercy.
And people are teaching that kind of stuff. I just thank God for deliverance. Because if you're not careful, people, you know, they'll say, oh, well, you know what? I don't worship no building. Let me tell you what, they care more about the building than they do the word of God. I promise you. All you got to do is investigate. But that's okay because there's a place for them. Remember Revelations 22? I think it's Revelation 22. And I want to say it's 6 and 9. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord of the holy prophet sent angels to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book. That's what we're supposed to be keeping, the saying of the prophet of this book. Verse 8 and 9 says this, I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angels, which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not. Do not worship angels. And I am thy fellow servant of the brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, God's, I worship God.
Amen.
That's Revelation 22:8-9.
Okay. In the New Living Translation, I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers, the prophets, as well as all who obey what is written in this worship only God. Amen.
It doesn't get any plainer. Only God. See, sometimes people can get caught up in vision, and they began to worship that. Get caught up in, they get caught up in various things. A new moon. They get caught up in prophecy, and they began to worship this stuff. And the angels, and at one point in time, they was worshiping angels. That's why I showed you that. That was kind of a norm. And the angel said to John, don't do that. The only one you got to worship is God. So in the book of Colossians, that's what Paul was letting them know. As you grow in your Christian faith, let God's word be your guide, not the opinions of others. And I would pay attention to that because the expression of unspiritual mind means that these people had a self-made religion. I mean, I don't know if you could see that today, but they are self-made religion. I mean, thousands and thousands of them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Instead of obeying what God's word say to do, which that is what's really significant, the false teachers were trying to deny the significance of the body by saying that it was evil. But their desire for attention from others is what they was about. Like the people today, they want to bring attention to themselves, not to God. Now, I know some of y'all may different, and that's okay. But I'm telling you, when people dress up, they get they put their, what they call their Sunday best on. They shine their shoes. They wash their car. I never forget that time Sister Evangelist Renee and I was talking about how they drive up in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, sister, this is for the attention. We should be bringing attention to God.
Amen.
Not ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, they used to say that they was fasting. They would put covers over their head, and they would, God, don't do that. They wanted to bring attention. Stop trying to bring attention to yourself. As a lot of people right now want to fast. So, oh, I'm fasting. I'm doing this. That's only to bring attention to themselves. Listen, brothers and sisters. You have to know it's something God ain't satisfied with. God ain't pleased with that foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
But they bring attention from other, like for instance, I think about in the physical realm. They get up and some people they call themselves shouting. That's what they call it. They shouting. You can about know when a certain drum beat come, the guitar, the organ, they bring attention to themselves. And if you didn't know any of that and you came from a foreign country and you go into some of the, especially the Afro or the black churches, you were like, wow, why are they doing all of that? You'd be like, they don't bring attention to God. Just think about it for a moment. They want to get man's approval that they got something. Listen, brothers and sisters, we should be actually getting God's attention. The fundamental problem with the false teacher was that they were not connected to Christ at all. See, to be connected with Christ is to be in Christ. This is basic New Testament teaching. Let's put it in. I like to share. Listen, brothers and sisters, until we actually learn what happened at the cross, until we really understand that, the law of Moses is called the law of sin and death. In other words, going to church, the only thing you're going to get out of that is sin and death. God show me that. Think about it. He says called the law of sin and death. The reason it's called the law of death is because it was God's law that ruled the spiritual dead man. Yeah. So Romans 8:2 reads like this. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. See, you can't be both of them. You got to be one or the other. So, for the law of the spirit of life, the spirit of life, where is it at? In Christ Jesus. Well, what did it do? It made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what that law is called. When you go to church, you're going into the law of sin and death. So Paul could say, I have been under the law of sin and death. even since I was circumcised as a child. All his ways of Dumas, he met Jesus. On his way to Damascus, he met Jesus and was circumcised in his heart, not his foreskin, but his heart. For a better way of saying, he was born again. So in other words, he received that eternal life, became a child of God, and came into the new covenant that Jesus established when he had fulfilled the old covenant. This brings us to point. When he said it's finished, oh, man, we got to talk about this. I'm going to let Pastor read Romans 8 and 2, though.
Okay, Romans 8 and 2. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Amen.
Yeah, going to church leads to death, brothers and sisters. It don't lead, where else can it lead you to? It can't lead you to Christ. It can't be led to Christ by going to church. Christ, the Bible says, now if you remember, the new, and we might have to talk a little bit about that to that everybody understand it. The new covenant has a new law, a new priesthood, a new sacrifice, have a new walk, because you have a new spirit, because old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, all things.
Yeah.
So it's very important, brothers and sisters, that we understand that the Ten Commandments were not written for Christians. Hallelujah. Oh, did I say that one? I might need to say that one again. The Ten Commandments were not written for Christians. The new creation, neither is the law of the new creation written for men outside of Christ. Now you understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, so the new covenant is not for people that go to the building, but for people that is in Christ. So let us notice what the scripture said again. It says, for the law of the recreated spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's love, brothers and sisters. Love is the nature of the Father. So when Paul received eternal life, the new love law entered into his spirit and became a part of his very nature. See, your nature changed.
Yes, amen.
But the love law of the recreated spirit is life that Jesus brought to us from the Father. This new life made Paul, I'm just going to say, he feel free, or he was free from the law of sin and death. He was free from that. You got to say that a couple of times. You're free from the Ten Commandments. And we'll go over it one day. I don't know what day we might run over a little bit today, because I want you to know, brothers and sisters, the old law, when you think about the contrast between the old and the new, I mean, you got to be able to see that thing. You got to see the similarity, but then you got to know that there's a dissimilarity between the two covenants. Old covenant and the new covenant. See, when you're talking about the laws, that's what you're talking about, the new law and the old law, the old covenant and the new covenant. So in the old covenant, it's called the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that one more time, because I don't think y'all really hearing that. He called it the old covenant. It's old.
All right.
So going to get with that, it's old. So in the new covenant, he called the new covenant. The new, it's new. The new covenant. The old covenant is called the first covenant. The new covenant is called the second covenant.
All right.
The old covenant is called a temporary compact. It was temporary compact.
Mm-hmm.
The new is called the everlasting covenant. See, it becomes your choice where you want to live. You want to live in the building or you want to live in Christ. Can't do both of them. Please just point out that. So the old was established upon the promise of the people. The new covenant is established upon the promises of God. The old covenant, if you remember, it didn't have a mediator. But the new covenant has a mediator. The old covenant had no provision for forgiveness of sin. Going to church won't give you forgiveness of sin, brothers and sisters. So you can stop that lie right now. You can go all day long and you won't forget. You can take all the blood you want to take and you won't be forgiven. It's only in the new covenant that has provided, or I'm just going to say provision for the forgiveness of sin. That's in the new, okay? That means you ain't in Christ, not in a building, which people teach you just the opposite of what I'm trying to share with you. People, oh, come on up in the church so you can get forgiveness of sin. See, and they teaching people that religious stuff, how to worship, that if you come up in here, you're forgiven. It's no different than what was going on in Colossians. God has provision for forgiveness of sin. And so he says, man, get rid of all that ritual stuff. You know, you got to do this. You got to do this six times. Got to do this seven times. If you do this. So that's how it was. So under the law, it was written on tables of stone. But God, in the new, he wrote it, that law is written in our hearts. Big difference. And the people can't see the difference between, but see, here's the thing. Satan gets you to thinking what you're doing is okay, because he had me there. He had me thinking I can do both of them. You can't drink. Let me tell you what the Bible says. A fountain won't bring forth sweet and bitter water at the same time. It won't happen. You can't worship two gods at the same time. You're going to love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other.
Amen.
You got to see the destruction that the organized church is bringing to the body of Christ. Good people, humble people, people who love the Lord. But anyway, I wanted to go a little further, but he said, for the law of the spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. It makes me free from this other stuff. You get free from it.
All right.
So Paul could say this with pride, man. He could say this in a humble way, but yet, he stood on because he knew what he had experienced on the Damascus Road. It's about the recreated spirit, and that life is in Christ, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I won't do it today, but one day I'm going to tell you one of the last words that came from the cross. Jesus says it's finished. They've taken that everywhere but to the truth. It's finished. What is finished? He abolished it. The laws, all the ceremonies, it's finished. That's what was finished. So he could fulfill the old, it was fin- the new. He had to get rid of, shed of the old, and he got rid of it. It was abolished.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, God had to show me that revelation that when he said, I want to say it's in Matthew, but we won't go there today. It had to come off my tongue. We'll pick it up maybe tomorrow, because we really need to talk about the new law. If the old law is passed away, we need to know what's in the new law and what it is. So I'm going to put a pin there, and tomorrow we'll talk about the new law, because the old one been abolished. It's done away with. So you got to have something. He canceled the old, disannulled it. You know, he dissolved that when he was on the cross. Man, don't get me talking about the cross today, please. If I tell you what he did on that cross, he abolished it, man. And it's on the cross now. Everything dealing with the old, it was left on the cross.
Yeah.
And they still singing songs, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Why you want to be near the cross? Do you really know what's on the cross? Do you know what that really symbolizes? You don't want to be no near no cross. Ain't where you want to be. Jesus finished everything on that cross, and he said, now, when he rose from the dead, a new commandment I give unto you.
Yeah.
And so tomorrow we'll get into that. Okay, we're at that point where anybody have any comments, anything you want to share, press 1 and we'll let you in.
Pastor, I wanted to read Hebrews, the 8th chapter and verse 10 from the New Living Translation. It says, but this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Amen. So that's a new covenant.
That's awesome. See, that's where it's at right there, brother and sister. The new one, well, you said it's that, Pastor, in the heart.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.